For over 6 years, Hank Thorpe hosted All of the Above Radio, the most intelligent, honest, and eclectic combo of music and talk that you never heard. But the more things change, the more things stay the same. Hank is back with a new version of the old scene. No more music, no more time constraints, but he still has great stories, great interviews, and more passion than a novel with Fabio on the cover. Once upon a time, Hank Thorpe was your bastion of good music, good talk, and full escapism. Now, Hank is your bastion for punchlines, passion, and perspective. Hank Thorpe, your former, present, and future favorite podcast host, presents all new, all different, but still, All of the Above.
In my opinion, I haven't done a particularly polarizing episode in a long time. And I haven't done an episode in a long time, so that's two different conversations. But this one might end up being a tiny bit polarizing. Welcome to all new, all different, but still, and still, all of the above. New version of the old scene. My name is Hank. Hey, how you doing? You can find me on Facebook. I'm barely there. .com/allofthe above radio, or my just plain old regular name, HANKTHORPE. You can find me on Instagram. I am also barely there, either at Hank Told You So or at Hank, hey, how you doing? And for all your massage needs, by the way, feel free to send me an email at thehelpfulhandsofhenry@gmail.com. I have cards. It's a thing now. It's been a thing for several years, but it's a thing now. So, ladies and gentlemen, I have a lot to talk with you about. I've had a lot to talk with you about, and I have been struggling with this whole concept of creating the correct time. That's certain things in my life. I want to have the perfect situation, the perfect scenario, the perfect backdrop to get things done. And recording a show for me takes place because, and maybe in part because I did it in a studio 30 minutes away from my home for such a long time, maybe that's part of the reason why I require such a sterile environment. Sterile in that no one can be around unless I'm interviewing them. I want to have nothing else to do. I just want to be able to sit and be fully in the moment as I talk to you, whomever and however many of you there may be. But the realest truth is, and we've talked about this before, as we become adults, especially adults with commitments and partnerships and dependence, or any or all of the above, thank you, time gets away from you. And so you gotta understand that the moment might not be perfect anymore, but you can make it pretty darn close. And so I am creating as close to a perfect moment as possible by doing something that I find totally brainless, so that I can still open up my mind and chat with you. So if you've ever seen that, I think I actually talked about this episode of The Big Bang Theory in a previous episode. But there's an episode where Dr. Sheldon Cooper is trying to figure out this equation, and he is struggling like crazy with it. And he realizes that the best thing he can do is find something pointless, something medial, something physical, something remedial, so that his brain has time to wander. So he gets a job bussing tables at the Cheesecake Factory where Penny works. And I don't remember if a plate dropped or if his bus tub dropped. I'm not sure what it was, but something dropped. And then he saw the equation. So how does that fit? Well, what I'm doing right now is another domestic episode. I am folding my laundry. I am in my bedroom, pulling shirts one at a time out of my laundry basket to fold and put away. I currently have my hands on a gray Adidas t-shirt that I've probably had, oh geez, at this point in my life, probably about 8 years. Once upon a time, it was a showcase shirt, but then I decided to move it into the sleeping pile. I have shirts that I sleep in, and I have shirts that I wear out. And if we're keeping score, I have shirts that I wear out that I care about versus shirts that I wear out of the house to run errands. Because, see, when you've got that weird tweener body that I have, you can't put shirts in the wash too many times before they start to shrink, even if you don't dry them. It's a it, it's it listen listen it's tough being it's tough. It's tough being beautiful. And you know what's also really tough, by the way, is when you're washing clothing that has a drawstring and you forget to tie the drawstring before you put them in the dryer. Because then, unless you've got somebody with really tiny fingers that knows how to pull the string back out of the pants or sweatshirt, whatever it is, the string is lost. The string is gone. You just pull the damn thing out, throw it in the trash, and keep moving. That is not what I wanted to talk about with you today. Although doing a domestic episode always makes for an interesting side bit of content, to which I really do need to actually do more of these domestic shows because I spend a lot of time in the kitchen. I am the primary food maker in our household, and I love being in the kitchen 88% of the time, so it's cool with me. So as I'm And actually, I talked to you guys a long time ago as I was doing the food prep for my birthday party. My wife was going to put together a couple of charcuterie and sandwich boards. So I was cooking the bacon and cutting the tomatoes and washing the lettuce, so on and so on. So here I am. And actually, I think I've talked to you before as I've ironed shirts to get ready to go out to a party. So it only makes sense that I'm now, putting laundry away. I repeat, not what I wanted to talk with you about today. So remember how I said this might be a bit of a polarizing show? A couple years ago, we had this conversation about the fear of Marvel fatigue. When people talk about Marvel fatigue, that is all of the movies and how we got inundated by them. Now, leading up to Endgame, there was a beautiful crescendo. There was a crescendo of 10 years of movie-making genius where everything interwove together. And after the completion of the Infinity Saga, we now had Disney Plus spitting out TV shows and miniseries, basically hoping you were going to continue to be interested, but Marvel fatigue hit. I don't know how many people watched Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. I don't know how many people watched The Eternals. I don't know how many people watched Black Widow. I don't know how many people watched Falcon and Winter Soldier. I can tell you where I faded. I watched WandaVision and enjoyed it. I watched Falcon and Winter Soldier and liked it. Liked it in parts more than the whole thing. But I gave up at about Moon Knight and Hawkeye and have not watched. I saw Thor: Love and War in the theater, saw Guardians of the Galaxy 3 in the theater, and saw Black Panther 2 on a plane. Tell you what, man. Dirty little secret, if you're on one of those good American Airlines planes that either A has the free Wi-Fi so you can watch movies and watch TV on your tablet, or if they have a screen on the back of the seat in front of you, that is clutch, man, especially on a long, like 2.5 hour, 3 hour flight, you can get a good movie in like a full movie. I was able to watch all of Black Panther on one flight. But anyway, we've talked about the concept of Marvel fatigue, and one of my buddies, about a month ago at this point, maybe a little over, I was asking a question in a group thread about music and fandom, and he is never shy with his opinion, and he proceeded to say, hey, just to let you know, Taylor Swift fatigue is real. Now, this conversation was had just after the Super Bowl. So you can understand where his thought process was when he said Taylor Swift fatigue is real. So, ladies and gentlemen, we had a really interesting back end of 2023. The NFL season started up as it tends to do, with people thinking the Kansas City Chiefs are good, people thinking the Buffalo Bills are good, people thinking the San Francisco 49ers, this, that, blah, 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 blah. All of the stereotypical things that come with an NFL season are right there, right in front of your face. But suddenly, off in the distance, is Taylor Swift and the Eras Tour. And I believe Taylor whipped on through KC, and Travis Kelce mentions on Twitter that he wants to see her, wants to meet her, and wasn't able to. That's what happens when you're, as he called it, Kansas City famous. Sure, people know who he is. Sure, people love him in the state of Missouri. But is he famous enough to get backstage to a Taylor Swift show? He might not have been at the time. And by the way, if there are any Swifties out there that would like to do any fact-checking on my stuff, please do. alloftheaboveradio@gmail.com. And so we come to the conclusion, conversation, whatever, that Travis wants to meet Taylor. And why wouldn't he? She is a multi-million dollar, if not at this point, billionaire, who is, as far as I can tell, some level of interesting and some level of attractive. Why wouldn't he want to meet her? And as any man who is at the level of Travis Kelce, who has had countless models, countless regular girls, countless hot girls, he's definitely never dated somebody on the level of Taylor Swift. And so, why wouldn't he shoot his shot? Why wouldn't he, who has, at this point in his life, we'll call it October of 2023, 2 Super Bowl rings, has already had a dating show, has now been the host of Saturday Night Live. Everyone in sports knows his name. Everyone in the state of Missouri knows his name. A little sector of Hollywood knows his name. So why not shoot your shot? Why not be like, hey, I'm Travis. I am a confident, good-looking dude who I understand you are a level above me when it comes to notoriety. But hey, nice to meet you. So ladies and gentlemen, we fast forward. We fast forward to this continuous beating over the head, for lack of a better word, of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. So we go from the rumors of them hanging out and meeting each other and spending time together to the very quick ramp up of her going to Arrowhead Stadium or her traveling to different stadiums to see him play. Now they're just two friends, but wait, now suddenly they're a relationship. And I got to tell you, let me first and foremost say to everyone listening, I never had an issue with the idea of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift dating. I never did. And furthermore, I have no idea why anybody would have a problem with that. Unless somebody had a crush on Taylor that they thought they could actually get her, or somebody had a crush on Travis and actually thought they could get him. If you are directly affected by it, feel free to continue to be annoyed. But everybody else, I don't totally understand why there was such venom. Because as the season rolled on, okay, I do, but I'm gonna speak to that. So as the weeks are rolling on and Taylor is spending more time in the stadium, football fans probably wouldn't have cared. Football fans would not have cared if Taylor Swift just showed up and the camera was never on her. If they dated and all you saw was them leaving the stadium together, or them out in random cities after games or tours together, don't know that anybody would have cared. But the NFL knew what the hell they were doing. And if you believe the conspiracy theories, Taylor knew what she was doing. Anyway, so the next thing you know, every network says, all right, every time Travis Kelce gets the ball, show Taylor. Get a reaction shot of Taylor. In fact, we're going to hire another cameraman just to stay on Taylor. It would not surprise me, ladies and gentlemen, if there's raw footage, like the NFL does all 22s, where you see it's a non-TV feed of every player so you can break down all the plays. It wouldn't surprise me if there's raw footage of just 4 straight hours of Taylor eating fries, chatting with Blake Lively, slapping hands with Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman, getting up to go to the bathroom, slapping Jackson Mahomes on the arm because he's being filthy again. It wouldn't surprise me if there isn't some raw footage of that from the cameraman that they hired just to keep their eye on Taylor Swift. And that's where football fans got pissed. Because football is very separate from, or the fandom of football is in large part very separate from the fandom of Taylor Swift. It's probably kind of rare that somebody who wants to pay X amount of money to go to the NFC Championship game for their favorite team would pay an equal amount of money to go to Taylor Swift in that same stadium. It's pretty rare. But now we as football fans are faced with it. And it was really funny to see the reaction videos on Instagram. There was a lot of videos of women who love Taylor Swift that were either joking or not jokingly telling their husbands, hey babe, have you heard of this guy named Travis? He just started dating Taylor. She's really putting him on the map. She's really putting him out there in Hollywood. And you see this reaction of these men saying, wait a minute, you mean Travis Kelce, the 2-time Super Bowl winner, the best tight end in the NFL in the last 15 years? Like, what are you saying? Putting him on the map? What the hell is wrong with you? And it's this string of videos of men just pulling their hair out as women are telling them that Taylor Swift suddenly put Travis Kelce on the map. And if you wanted to take issue with that statement, which I'm sure for one split second, Travis, he might have. He might have been like, bro, he's been in the NFL for like 12 years, maybe a little bit more at this point. I'm not totally sure when he came out of Cincy. But you figure she crossed him over into world notoriety, but she didn't put him on the map. Give the man some credit. in his chosen field. So, as the weeks roll on, as we're watching football games anyway, now you start to get Taylor Swift fans that are becoming Chiefs fans. You are starting to get girls who could not give a rat's backside about football buying Chiefs clothing, hats, stickers, whatever it is, and laying claim that the Chiefs are the team of their choice. And you get these people, girls, guys, and anything in between, shouting, "Go Taylor's boyfriend! Go Taylor's boyfriend!" Wearing Chiefs gear, waiting for that moment where Taylor is on the screen. And like I said, fans of football were able to kind of, I betcha there's probably a football fan or two, if not lots of them, that really enjoyed football as their escape because they probably had kids that were making them listen to Taylor Swift the minute leading up to watching football and the minute after football was done. And so suddenly these people who were watching football feeling that escape, suddenly that escape is gone. And here we are with a whole bunch of people deciding they are now fans of the Kansas City Chiefs. Which, by the way, the NFL, I repeat, they knew what they were doing. Because now the sales of Travis Kelce jerseys have skyrocketed. Now the sales of Kansas City Chiefs memorabilia has skyrocketed. Now the price for a ticket of a Chiefs game has skyrocketed because Swifties now think they can show up to GEHA Stadium or insert whatever stadium she traveled to and get a glimpse of Taylor. Do you really think that security didn't quadruple? Do you really think that she wasn't whisked through some secret tunnel? But here comes the financial boom. And what made it really funny and really interesting. So not only did I feel bad as the football season was rolling on, not only did I feel bad for people who were trying to escape Taylor Swift through football, but I feel really bad for Kansas City Chiefs fans, especially the female ones. Most notably, my wife. So we go somewhere, my wife. So now, basically, during the 2023 season, so leading up to the 2023 season, the question was, if anybody saw my wife in Chiefs gear, "Oh, you're a Chiefs fan? You like Mahomes? Oh, you're from Missouri. Okay, so you're a real fan. Cool." Now, once the 2023 season hit, it was, "Oh, you're a Chiefs fan. Or are you a Taylor Swift fan?" I cannot express to you how quickly the steam came off of my wife's head anytime people asked her if she was a Taylor Swift fan or a Chiefs fan. Let me make two things clear. One, my wife is from Missouri, from a small town Kansas City area. She has been a Chiefs fan since before we started dating. And actually, her first Chiefs game was before we started dating. Her second was with me in 2019. She went to a game back in like 2014 or so when Alex Smith was the quarterback. So she goes back a little bit. But also, let me make clear, I'm probably a bigger Taylor Swift fan than she is. In large part because of the deep dive I did into Taylor's catalog right before the Super Bowl. We'll get to that in a little bit. So I have said a time or two that the mark of a true fan from any team of any sport is when they start spouting off who their favorite players were when they were young, who they watched. And one of the, and other than my wife telling the world that she is from Missouri and she was a Chiefs fan before Mahomes showed up, one of the stamps that you can look at her and be like, oh, you are a real fan, is her Tyrann Mathieu jersey. Her favorite player from the Chiefs, before he left for the Saints, was Tyrann Mathieu, kid from LSU, the Honey Badger, who, by the way, is an advocate for pet safety. Random enough. He did a really, really intelligent video about what it's like to be left in a hot car to show you what it's like for a dog. Very interesting stuff. Very interesting stuff. And I'm sure, much like there was videos of women telling their football fan spouses and sigoths that Taylor Swift put Travis Kelce on the map, there was probably videos that came later of Taylor Swift fans wearing Chiefs gear and their spouse, their sigoth, their father saying, name me five people on the Chiefs not named Travis Kelce or Patrick Mahomes. That was much like the barometer for fandom is to talk about the players that you loved the most growing up or your favorite player. The other sports fan pop quiz is such a dick move, but name somebody on the team not the most famous guy. So once upon a time, see, I am of an age where the Chicago Bulls were everybody's favorite team because of Michael Jordan. Or just because, once again, I grew up in the age of starter. The starter outfits where you were basically just buying a badass colored coat because you liked the color or you liked the team, but maybe you didn't actually like the team. And I remember sitting at the lunch table in junior high one day, and that same friend earlier that told me that Taylor Swift fatigue is real, going all the way back into the eighth grade, we're sitting at the lunch table and he looks at our friend Josh, who's wearing Chicago Bulls from head to toe, and says, name me five Chicago Bulls. And of course the kid says, Jordan, Pippen, and my buddy chimes in and says, not name Jordan and Pippen. Who else is on the team? So, I had a bit of a conversation with you about fandom after I chatted with Matt Schauger several months ago. I think that was maybe July of 23. And there's no definitive end to a conversation about fandom because it's different for every single person who is a fan of a sport. But what I will say is, ideally, if you are a fan of a team, you know some of the players on the team. Now, if you're a slightly deeper guy like me, you're a historian of the team. And what I love, speaking of A, naming off players on the team other than the famous one, and B, my wife's Tyrann Mathieu jersey. One of my favorite things to do when I go to sporting events is to look at the jerseys. Because the older the jersey you have or the more obscure, the deeper your fandom is. And it gets to a point where I see really deep, deep jerseys and think, are you related to the person? I remember one time I went to Cowboys Stadium to watch one of the Giants Cowboys games. And there was three people wearing a number 20 Michael Johnson jersey. And Michael Johnson was a safety out of Arizona for whom I want to say he might have been on the 07 Super Bowl team. I never would have expected to see that jersey. He was kind of sort of important for one season and then just kind of faded into obscurity and was probably out of the league pretty quick. So that jersey, I thought, you guys got to be related to him. But when you see me speaking as a New York Giants fan, I have seen everything from Kerry Collins to, of course, Lawrence Taylor, to Rodney Hampton, to, of course, Jeremy Shockey, to, of course, Victor Cruz, to my favorite, Amani Toomer, to Plaxico Burress, to Mark Bavaro. You see them all, and it's a really cool stamp of your fandom. How long you've been a fan, how long you've treasured that jersey, how long you've been wearing that jersey, showing off your fandom. It's all really cool. I love that. Now, and this is just a super quick commentary, and I'll leave it. And by the way, speaking of all of this, I had the distinct privilege to go to 2023 World Series Game 2 just a few short months ago, and very, very similar. So I became a Texas Rangers fan in about 2007. So I'm very, comparatively, I am very, very new to being a fan of that team. But it was really fun to sit in the stands and hear people. Because first of all, this is the first time since 2011 that the Rangers are in the World Series. And it's the first time that people are believing that they actually could win it. And so people were so deeply excited, talking about, oh man, I grew up watching Ruben Sierra and Rafi Palmeiro and Pudge Rodriguez and Mickey Tettleton. I grew up watching these people. I've been here a long time. It's been a long time since, and up to that point, spoiler alert, the Texas Rangers had never won a World Series. And the amount of people I talked to that said that they cried with no shame whatsoever when Spores got the last out, it was awesome. Because we talked about this before. Anything in life, everything in life is about value. Life purely is the value you give to something. Whether that is the time you have invested in caring about a football team, how music affects you, how books affect you, how people around you affect you, how life itself affects you. There is nothing else to life other than the value you put on it. And it was amazing for me to be in this city, in this Metroplex, when the Rangers won. Because I'm a fan of the Rangers. And I was happy. I was super happy. But you know who was happier? Every person that has lived in DFW since birth and been a Rangers fan. I gladly stepped back and saw how happy everybody else was. And it was really cool. Now, let me just make abundantly clear. Whenever the heck the Giants make it back to the Super Bowl, and it won't be with Daniel Jones, whenever the Giants make it back to the Super Bowl, there's a very good chance I will be tearing up if they win. We'll just make that clear. By the way, I wish I still had my Lewis Tillman number 34 jersey. That would be a deep dive that would make Giants fans go nuts if they saw me at a stadium. Ugh, I miss that jersey. So, as much as I agreed with people that it was annoying to see Taylor Swift on TV, that was the only issue I ever had with Taylor Swift. I repeat, I have no problem whatsoever with two 34-year-old, a 33 and a 34-year-old person. I have no problem with them finding each other. I have no problem with them dating. I got no problem with any of that. Travis Kelce, good-looking dude. Taylor Swift, slightly less good-looking than Travis Kelce. Hot take. I told you this was going to be a bit of a polarizing show. But they're both good-looking young people. Why wouldn't they? Let them have their fun. Now, I repeat, my big issue was with the NFL so blatantly exploiting her every time she was there. And maybe, just maybe, I'll let the conspiracy theories run wild that she had something to do with it, that she wanted to push her publicity to the stratosphere. I will let that topic sit out there. You guys go right ahead and do with it whatever the heck you want. But if she was just an innocent bystander who actually had feelings for Travis Kelce, was excited to see him play, and was just there trying to mind her business, well, screw you, NFL. Either way, we got the Swifties at this point completely latched on. We've got the football fans annoyed to hell because of it. But you know what? Everybody's got their eyes on the screen, and the NFL is happy no matter what. Which leads us to the Super Bowl. So, like I said, I did a deep dive. So, one of my buddies has a daughter who would probably be registered as a Swiftie if there is any, if there is a such a thing. And so I said, "Hey, man, what are your daughter's three favorite Taylor Swift albums?" So, the Friday before the Super Bowl, because you knew Taylor Swift was gonna be there. And I wish I was in Vegas to lay down some prop bets, because I bet you there was prop bets on the amount of TV appearances she had. Which of course would have been connected to the amount of catches Travis Kelce had, which by the way, second half, he was a beast. So I asked my buddy, I was like, "Hey, what are your daughter's three favorite albums?" And he proceeded to say, "Midnights, 1989, and Lover." Okay, off we go. At that point in my life, I had only heard random hits. I remember her as the girl who got interrupted by Kanye West. I knew her as the girl who kind of was country from Reading, PA, and then just kind of soared to the stratosphere. And some of her music, for example, "I Knew You Were Trouble" and "I Think We Are Never Getting Back Together." They got playtime on my original show, All of the Above Radio. So I'm not a stranger to Taylor Swift, but I have never done a dive on any of her albums until Super Bowl weekend. Because you know what? It's not enough for me to hate on something for no reason anymore. So I wanted to know what the hype was about because Swifties, Travis Kelce put Taylor Swift on the map for me. I mean, I repeat, I knew who she was. I knew that she was a multi-billion dollar cash machine. But I also had never dove into her album. So I listened to 1989. I listened to Lover. I listened to Midnights. And I mean, they were all some level of good. They were all some level of catchy or relatable or well produced or well written or smart or funny or provocative or kind of hot. All of these three albums were some level of those things. So I gained a little respect for the concept of Taylor Swift. And by the way, My wife and her best friend put on a Super Bowl party that was that had it took place in a house that had two rooms, the big living room with a TV, and then a smaller room that was partially designed for the kids. There was roughly 30 people there, maybe 35 or so at its height. And in the secondary room, I need to take a picture and put it up. I need that to be my picture for this show whenever it gets put out there. There was a Taylor Swift themed room with beads that said "In My Chiefs Era," and there were bracelets that you could make, and there were Taylor Swift stickers all over the table. My wife and her best friend were very smart to know that not everybody in the building for the Super Bowl party was a football fan, which, by the way, that goes true for every single Super Bowl that has been since they were on TV. It's a television show first that just happens to be a football game. That's why they put so much into the halftime show. That's why they put so much into the commercials, because people are watching it because it's a TV show. Football fans just happen to be watching it because it's the last game of the year until the UFL shows up. Whatever the hell that means. So, I have now taken a deep dive into Taylor Swift and have gained a little bit of an understanding and a respect for her music. And I like some of it. Now, for my money, if you're just putting a gun to my head and say, "Hank, you need to listen to pop music nonstop for the next month," Taylor Swift would be like fourth on the list. Before that, I'm still listening to Dua Lipa, Benny, and Billie Eilish. And then I'll put some Taylor Swift in there. And they're probably not the same thing. I know they're not the same thing, but at the same time, there's stuff I just like better. But if somebody were to put a Taylor Swift album on right now, that'd be fine. I got no problem with that. So fast forward, fast forward. It's now late March of 2024. I am at my wife's friend's house, and my wife's friend lives by herself. Well, not by herself, I'm sorry. She's a single mom. It's her and her 11-year-old daughter. And we walk in the house, and the Disney Plus movie of the Eras Tour is on. So now the conversation about Taylor Swift is right in front of your face, because now you're watching her performance from SoFi Stadium. And I asked the 40-year-old woman who is the head of the house, for whom is a bigger Taylor Swift fan than her daughter, who went to one of the shows at Cowboys Stadium. "So tell me about Taylor Swift. Just tell me about her music. Does she like are is the paparazzi and the annoying opinions real that she just gets into relationships to have content?" And so my friend says, "You know, with the exception of one album, I believe it was Folklore, with the exception of one album, her music is wildly biographical. She writes based on a lot of what she has done or what she has seen or what she has experienced." And that was kind of a that was that's been a joke throughout the years about Taylor Swift, is that she gets into relationships so that she can write her next breakup song. And I'm not gonna say I believed it, but what I will say is, after that conversation I had with my wife's really good friend, who is a huge Swiftie, saying that her music is biographical, I did kind of a mental deep dive into my own time as a podcaster, as a once a week presenter of all of the above radio. I stopped to think and stopped to remember just what percentage of that show was based on me. Whether it was me being single and having great exploits, or me being single and being in a drought, or me being in a relationship and it going well, or me being in a relationship and hiding how unhappy I was, or me being out and just seeing something weird and crazy and feeling like I needed to tell all of you about it. At some point or another, that show was just as autobiographical as Taylor Swift's writing. As just a, because when you're going through it, I mean, let's repeat, Taylor Swift is barely 34 years old. So the bulk of, so her adult life has been as a single or a dating woman. How can you not write about it? It's a huge thing in your world. How can you not? So it's kind of, it's a little quick to say she's getting into relationships just to write the next breakup song. It's a little overly simplistic. I tend to think she's just smart enough to know at the end of it all, as she's, I mean, the same way that people write in a journal to talk about their frustrations, shut the journal and then put it away. The same way people go to therapy, talk about it, it goes into the therapist's ears, and then they're done. But you know what? There's also people like me, hey, how you doing, who get on a podcast and tell you what's going on with my life because I feel like it's something you can relate to or you can learn from. Taylor Swift ain't any different. Really. Let me just remind you all, a lot of people like music that comes from a crappy place. I still tell you to this day that my favorite Mary J. Blige album is My Life. That chick was so depressed. She had just gotten over the most brutal breakup with Casey of Jodeci and was just crying on paper, for lack of a better word. And then those two albums after where she was happy and got over it, I was like, what is this crap? Now, as I've gotten older and I've gone through less heartache and have come to better realizations about myself, those albums have gotten better. But let's not lie, people. We like songs that are relatable. And what is relatable? Bad relationships, breakups, heartache, headache. It's all relatable. Being annoyed at somebody for not being what you thought they were, or being annoyed at somebody who falsely represented themselves, or being annoyed with yourself for falling for it, or being a part of it, or dealing with it. That crap is relatable. I've said it. So if you haven't understood what I'm saying yet, I got no problem with Taylor Swift. In fact, thanks to, we'll say, starting with listening to those three albums, well, I became a bit of an apologist as soon as people started saying, F that bitch, she needs to be off the TV. She didn't do it, I don't think. The NFL did it, I think. I mean, did her publicist say, oh my God, people are eating this up. You got to keep going. Probably. But in the beginning, it was not her call. It was not her choice. Leave her alone. So I'm not only am I a bit of an apologist for her and for her dating Travis Kelce, I'm also kind of an apologist for her writing for people who hate on it. Because once again, as a podcaster, I get it. There's probably 85 to 90% of my content that I have presented to you throughout the years that was completely autobiographical. Some of it was things that I saw out in the world that I kind of played the Stephen A. Smith or Skip Bayless role where I wasn't really actually that bothered by it, but I built up the character to make myself more concerned about it to create better content. And Lord knows, there has been moments in my lifetime since I have started podcasting. We'll go all the way back to May of 2012, where I said, well, if nothing else, this will make for good content later. Because sometimes it happened organically, and sometimes there was just a moment where you said, well, let me get into this stupid scenario and see what happens. I'll be able to talk about it later
whether it goes well or not.
So, all this to say, I kind of like Taylor Swift.
And it's interesting to see the ripple effect, because there is a ripple, because now suddenly Travis and Jason Kelce, the brothers who one just retired, but the other still in the NFL, have a podcast together. I would love to see the numbers on how many people listened to Jason and Travis's podcast 1 year ago today. I would love to see the difference in the listeners and how many Taylor Swift fans glommed on and started listening because of Taylor Swift. And by the way, what are you even getting from that show? I've never listened to it. I listened to that one clip where the two brothers are looking at the NFL coaches picture, and Travis doesn't know who half of them are. He doesn't know who Shane Steichen is. He doesn't know who Zach Gannon is. And who the hell cares? He ain't worried about them. He's worried about the defensive coordinator. He's worried about the defensive back and the linebacker who's trying to cover him. And he's kind of a meathead. Let's not lie about that. The ripple effect of Taylor Swift is real. The fatigue that some people have from Taylor Swift is real. But you know what it did for me? It raised my curiosity. It raised my level of interest. And it raised my level of respect. You are welcome to sit on whatever side of the spectrum on this topic. You're welcome to sit wherever you like. But you're not the one with the microphone. So here I am telling you that I like her. I mean, if she is what she appears to be. If she appears to be somebody who is kind of self-deprecating, kind of funny, kind of self-aware, but also can't walk out of any building without being mobbed, and happens to be dating a guy who is a complete meathead, but a good looking one. Now I will say this, and this is a very serious sports statement. If the Chiefs start losing, which they won't anytime soon, fans, you can't leave them. You can't let them go. Don't be that person. Don't be the team sucks now, I don't like them anymore. Once you're a fan, become a fan. I mean, unless you have true reasons like me becoming a Texas Rangers fan, which, by the way, the Yankees weren't losing. I didn't leave Yankee fandom because they were losing. I left Yankee fandom because they didn't need me anymore. Because I didn't feel the same way watching the Yankees anymore. But I started watching the Rangers and started to get that feeling again. You know? And by the way, another thing that let's look at the ripple effect backwards. If Taylor and Travis don't work out, how quick and how swift, see what I did there? Will the departure be of a whole bunch of Swifties to their fandom of football and Travis Kelce? And dear God, if Travis Kelce, if we learn that he broke up with her, oh my God. I wonder if anybody said to him, bro, the only possible way for you the rest of your life is to either A, get dumped by her, or B, marry her and die with her. Because otherwise, your publicity goes to hell. Hell in a red and yellow handbasket. And it's going to have some bracelets in it. I don't have a really intelligent off-ramp to this thought process. Because it's still ongoing. They are still dating. The tabloids are still a-brewing. The football season's coming around the corner. And so it will be interesting and fun to see what the next year of fandom is. If they're still together in the 2024 season, will it still be that same uproar? Will 12-year-old girls still be screaming furiously every time Taylor's on the screen? if she's at a Chiefs game? Will they still care? Or will it just be another thing now? Will it not be novel anymore? Will it just be what Taylor is doing or what Travis is doing? Or will it still be the same thing? Oh, and this very funny moment, by the way, speaking of fandom, speaking of Taylor Swift, that very same buddy who talked about Taylor Swift fatigue, who quizzed somebody about the Chicago Bulls, says to me, shortly after the Super Bowl, he says to me, "So Hank, I'm worried about you. This is as close to an intervention as you're going to get, but are you becoming a Chiefs fan?" I said, "No, man. Giants, these colors don't run." He says, "You know, you married a girl who's a Chiefs fan, you talking about Taylor Swift. Like, I'm worried about you. Are you becoming a Chiefs fan?" I said, "I repeat, these colors don't run. Did you see the lining of the inside of my wedding day suit? It was New York Giants. Thank you, Men's Warehouse. I looked amazing. I did love the way I looked." And maybe this is my off-ramp. As the dearly departed Meatloaf once said, "I will do anything for love, but I won't do that." That, ladies and gentlemen, is change my fandom for the New York Football Giants. My wife can dress me up like a Ken doll to every Chiefs game we go to. I will wear any jersey you want me to wear for the 12 hours of getting dressed, going to the game, going to the bar afterwards, getting back to the hotel. Unless they're playing the Giants. And I have already made it abundantly clear to her, in a weird, weird world where it's Mahomes versus insert quarterback here, not named Daniel Jones, in the Super Bowl, Giants versus Chiefs, we will probably not be in the same home. We will probably not be in the same place watching the game. She will be with her friends who are Chiefs fans, and I will be with my friends who are Giants fans. It's just that simple. I would go to a Taylor Swift concert with her, though. Preferably with somebody else's money, because that crap is expensive. Woo! I done heard what y'all been spending. Man. And I repeat, I would go to an NFC title game with that Taylor Swift money real quick. But with somebody else's money, I'll go to Taylor Swift. Feel free to send me that money on PayPal or Venmo if you'd like. On Venmo, the only Henry Thorpe. And actually, let's do this. If you want to test my fandom, give me a number. The only Henry Thorpe on Venmo. Give me a number. Let's figure out. Everybody has a price. Let's figure out how much you need to pay me to wear your team of choice for one day. But these colors don't run, baby. Go big blue. This has been a fun thought process. I hope I've given Swifties and football fans and everybody in between a little something to think about and consider here and there. And my laundry is almost done. I talked to you for a while, but there were moments where I had to look at myself in the mirror and flap my arms around like a crazy person. And I'm not going to lie to you. I hate folding socks. So socks will be a different time. Maybe that'll be the next show. Maybe I will just do the socks. I hate socks. I don't hate Taylor Swift. And I love the Giants. I think we've learned those three things today. By the way, there is a day where I might want to have a conversation with another Swiftie or two, a younger and an older, because I am genuinely curious what a 12-year-old Swiftie thinks about her music. Because as a 45-year-old man talking to a 40-year-old woman, saying that her music is autobiographical or that it's relatable. It's because we've been through breakups. It's because we've been through heartache. I wonder what a 10, 11, 12-year-old Taylor Swift fan thinks of her music, and what and do they find it relatable, or do they just find it fun and poppy and good? Do they just love the idea of shaking it off, or do they long for somebody across the street that they feel belongs to them? Where does the relatability start? I would love to have that conversation. If you have a child who is a Swiftie with adult supervision, I would gladly interview them as a follow-up to this episode. I would absolutely love that. Just because I am that curious of a person. allofthebovradio@gmail.com is how we find that conversation. We'll figure this out together, everybody, as usual. We're going to skip the apologies for not doing content of late and simply say, there's always laundry to be done. And no, the dryer was not running while I was putting away my clothes. One person gets that. Maybe two. We will do this again soon. I hope. And soon after that, and soon after that, and soon after that. My name is Hank. This has been all new, all different, all of the above. May there be a next time. I say till next time.